Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. This morning, we're ending our series on the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be looking at one of the most extensive teaching on spiritual warfare. So I believe what we're talking about today is really important. In fact, in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "A final word." He's saying, I'm ending this letter to you, and what I'm getting ready to tell you is really important. It's basically saying, hey, pay attention. How I'm ending this letter has powerful impact and will change your life. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand against, look at this, the strategies of the devil. The devil's got a plan for your life. You know that? The Bible says that God has a plan for your life to live an abundant life, but the devil has a plan for your life to steal, kill, and destroy you. Do you know that? He goes, the devil's got a strategy for life. And then he goes on. He goes, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people, but against, look at this phrase, evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world. Do you know there's an unseen world? There's a physical world and there's a spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, there are evil beings, there are evil rulers, there are authorities against mighty powers in this dark world. There are evil spirits of darkness in the world today and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. I want you to know that the Bible says there's a real devil and there's real demons. And there's three things we learn here about the devil and demons. Number one, they are organized. Number two, they have strategies. Number three, they have power. Right here in these verses, he goes, here's what I want you to know about the devil and demons. Number one, he goes, evil rulers, authorities, powers, these demonic beings have power. Now, good news is they're not all powerful. The only being in the world today that is all powerful is God. One of the teachings we believe about the devil is the Bible teaches you to be aware of the devil, but not afraid of the devil. I'll say that again. You're supposed to be aware of the devil, but not afraid of the devil. So they have power. Number two, they are organized. Look at this. There are rulers and authorities and powers and evil spirits. These demons are very organized in the world today. And number three, they have a strategy. The devil has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy everything that God said was good. That includes you. It includes your family. Includes our nation and our world. Well, I want to encourage you, when you begin to watch news events of the day, don't only just think about things in the natural realm or in the earthly realm, but there's a spiritual realm behind what's happening in the news right now in the world today. There is a devil and there are demons that are out to destroy God and everything that God says is good. Out to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy you. So Paul says, finally, he goes, look, my final word to you, he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his mighty power. Again, the devil doesn't have the final word. The devil has power, but it's limited power. And we learned earlier, as you've been here in the book of Ephesians, here's one thing that Paul told us. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. In other words, saying that is don't leave the door cracked of your life so the devil can have entrance in your life. See, there is an unseen world that's more real than the seen world. The spiritual world is more real than the physical world because this physical world will pass away, but the spiritual world, the Bible says, will last for eternity. And you've got to be aware that there's a real devil, there's real evil in this world, and it exists. And you don't give the devil a foothold in your life. I'm going to talk about entertainment for a second. Do you know when it comes to music, or what you watch online, or television, or movies, that none of them are spiritually neutral? The things that you consume between your eye gate and your ear gate are leading you towards God or away from God. There's no such thing as music. There's no such thing as entertainment. There's no such thing as things on the internet that are spiritually neutral. There is an unseen world. There are devils out there. There are demons out there. There are spiritual forces of darkness that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy what's in your life to take you away from the devil, God's plan for your life, and God's good plan. And you don't give the devil a foothold. You don't leave the door of your heart, your mind, or your spirit cracked open to give the devil entrance into your life or entrance into your family. I want to encourage you, if you're consuming something that's drawing you away from God, it's not spiritually neutral. Listen, there is a spirit behind all music. There's a spirit behind all movies. There's a spirit behind all television shows. There's a spirit to what you're consuming off the internet. And it can destroy you if you allow, listen, if you give yourself devil interest into your life. Another thing I want to talk about is drug use. I believe one of the ways the devil could get interest in your life is the abuse of drugs, of taking things that alters your mind. It opens your spirit up to spirit of the darkness. We don't give the devil a foothold. We don't leave a crack of the door open. We make sure that stuff's not a part of us. Pornography. Don't you think that pornography is just a natural thing? No. When you consume that, you're opening yourself up to spiritual evil. You're opening yourself up to spiritual powers. The devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy you and everything you hold dear. And you don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Do you know another thing that gives the devil a foothold in your life? Bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness is a spiritual cancer that will destroy you. If you're bitter or angry towards someone else, you don't impact them, you impact you. And that unforgiveness in your heart, that bitterness in your heart, it leaves the door open a little bit. It can give the devil a foothold to get into your spirit and destroy you. Listen, in your home, those who are parents and grandparents, make sure there's nothing in your home that can cause your children or grandchildren to open the door to the work of evil in their life. Shut the door on the devil. Make sure you don't give him a foothold. Cleanse your home. Cleanse your life. Cleanse your entertainment. Make sure that which you're consuming is leading you towards God, not away from God. So the first thing that Paul wants you to know here is that you're in a fight. Sometimes some people ask me, what did I learn the most about being a missionary? When I lived under Islam for those 9 years, I learned the reality of the spiritual world. And I learned the reality of a spiritual evil. I saw things I didn't know if I even believed in. I saw a love of darkness I had never seen before. And I learned there's a spiritual world. It's real. There are demons. There are devils. They're organized. They have power. And they're out. They have a strategy to steal, kill, and destroy you and your family. And you got to shut the door on the devil. You got to close the door on him. You do not open it yourself or your family. Open to evil. My wife will tell you when she was younger, her family used to love those horror movies. And my wife would have nightmares. Shut the door on the devil. Don't play with that stuff. Don't play with that stuff. We refuse to watch anything like that. Why? I am not opening my home or my wife or myself or my grandchildren to spiritual evil to come to kill, steal, and destroy what's in my life that I love and I adore and I cherish. Amen? So the first thing Paul wants you to know here, he uses strong language. He goes, final word, you're in a fight. Things are not spiritually neutral. They're spiritually positive or they're spiritually negative. There's not a neutrality in your life. They're leading you towards God and his plan for your life. They're leading you away from God and devil's plan for your life. He's taking you that way. So here's the first thing. You're in a fight. Number two, Paul wants you to know how to fight, how to win the fight. Look with me at verse number 13. Therefore, that word therefore, when you see it in the Bible, always ask what that word is there for. Because there's real spiritual evil in this world, because there are princes of darkness and demonic spirits, because of that, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And friends, if you don't believe we live in the time of evil, you're being naive. Just watch the news. Just watch the news. We live in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Notice that. I love that. Here's what it really says in the original language. It goes, after you've done everything to stand against the devil, keep on standing. Sometimes we want a silver bullet, like if we just say a certain words or do a certain thing, the devil. No, no. The Bible says if you're going to defeat the devil, you've got to take a stand and you've got to keep on standing. You don't back down to the devil. You don't open the door to the devil. You don't give him a crack of your heart or your life. He says, after you've done everything, stand firm. Keep on standing, putting on. Then he talks about the armor of God. Look at this. The belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul gives you 7 weapons that you can use to defeat the devil in your life. 7 weapons. You want to take notes on this. 7 weapons you can use to defeat the devil in your life. Weapon number 1 is called the belt of truth. Now, back in Bible days, men wore these long skirts. You know, have you seen the Roman soldiers, right? They hadn't created pants yet, so they wore these Roman things. So when they got in a fight, they had this belt, and you know, you would trip if you ran into that thing, so they would take the long thing and stick it in that belt so they could run in freedom. The Bible says if you want to live in freedom, you replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. That's what the belt of truth is. You replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. See, one of the things the Bible calls the devil, he's the father of lies. That means the devil created lying. Do you know that? The devil created lying. And some of you have been told lies all your life. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything. Some of you grew up in an ungodly home and you've been demeaned since you were just a little child. Or you've had people speak words in your life. And how do you know that those words that are spoken to you, even as a young child, you never forget? It's amazing how your mind can remember those things. You've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. Some of you believe this, saying things like this. I'll always be bound by fear. I'll always be a victim of my trauma. I'll always be like this. How many of you know that's a lie straight from the pit of hell? You've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. Think about Mary Magdalene. You ever heard of Mary Magdalene in the Bible? You know what I'm talking about? She was a lady who had 7 demons. In the Bible, the number 7 means completeness or totality. When the Bible says Mary Magdalene had 7 demons, that means she was completely and totally controlled by these dark, evil spirits. Yet when she found Jesus, God delivered her from those 7 demons. And you know what? She did not live as a victim of her past. She became a brand new person. Think about the demoniac. The Bible says he was filled with a legion of demons. A legion of demons. Thousands of demons. And Jesus totally delivered him. And the Bible says immediately after he was delivered from God, he was sitting with Jesus of his right mind and his right spirit. Did he live in the shadow of his past? No. He lived in the light of his future. You've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to set you free from your sins, set you free from your wounds, set you free from your trauma, set you free from anything that's ever been done for you. And if you don't believe that, you serve a pretty small God. Because the blood of Jesus, here's what the Bible says. He who the Son, Jesus, sets free is free indeed. It was never God's intention for people who have been saved by Jesus Christ to live in bondage the rest of their life. God did not deliver Mary Magdalene to live in bondage. God did not deliver the demoniac to live in bondage. No, he set them free. He had a plan for their life, and he delivered them from that demonic spirit, and you can live in freedom. You don't have to live your whole life in defeat. You don't have to live your whole life as a victim. You can live in the freedom and the victory of Jesus Christ. You've got to put on the belt of truth. You've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. If the Bible says it's true, it's true. The Bible says God can do it. God can do it. The Bible says he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that word means you're really free. Then you are free. Some of you believe that you got into pornography and you're going to be in pornography for the rest of your life. That is a lie for the pit of hell. Jesus can set you free for the power of pornography. He can set you free from drug addiction. He can set you free from alcohol abuse. I want you to know, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no sin that God cannot take that grip away from you. If you're going to defeat the devil, you've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. Number two, put on the breast of righteousness. That breast of righteousness protected all the vital organs of a Roman soldier. There's two things about righteousness you need to understand. Number one, when you get saved, you're in right standing with God. That means as soon as you get saved, you're righteous. You're right with God. The biblical word for that is justification. God legally justifies you and declares you innocent the moment you get saved. You're innocent and set free from every sin you ever committed in your past. He no longer holds your sins against you. You're in right standing with God. But once you're saved, because you're in right standing with God, you start going into right living. You can never live right. Most people think of righteousness as right living, right? We don't sin anymore. But listen, you will never have right living in your life until you understand you're in right standing with God. Because it's the Holy Spirit inside of you that'll help you overcome sin in your life. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. And another biblical word we use there is sanctification. I know justification and sanctification are not words we normally use. Sanctification is the process of God cleaning you up. You're in right standing. You're justified the moment you get saved. But he's now sanctifying you. He's making you pure. He's making you holy. He's cleaning you up. That's why we say success in the spiritual life is progressively becoming the person God called me to be. Here's the truth about me. I'm not where I need to be with God yet. But you know why? I'm not where I was. I'm making a progress of becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's what this Christian, that's why we read our Bibles and we pray. Because God will take those things and he'll clean you up. Things I used to say, I don't say anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And again, I'm not perfect. I'm still on that progression. But listen, the key is, are you making progress? Are you going in the right direction? Are you in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus? This next one I think is so important if you're going to defeat the devil. And that's the shoes of peace. Shoes of peace. Now, back then, when the Roman soldiers, their shoes were like cleats. They had these long cleats on the end. Because when they were fighting hand-to-hand combat, they would dig in with those cleats so they could stand their ground and fight and not slip and fall. Because if you fall down, you're dead. So God says, if you want to stand against the devil, you need the peace of God in your life. The Bible says God's peace will guard your heart and mind. You don't have to be worried full of fear in your life. You don't have to have depression. You don't have to have anxiety. God can take all that off of you and replace it with the peace of God. No worry, no fear. Some of you are bound by fear. God never intended his son or daughter to be bound by fear. Some of you are bound by anxiety and worry. God never intended his children to live their lives bound by anxiety or worry. He wants to take, again, you've got to replace the lie of the devil, that's how you're always going to be, and replace it with the truth of God's word. And you need to begin to claim the peace of God in your life. God wants to make you whole. I'll say it again. God wants to make you whole. God wants you to become more and more like Jesus. Was Jesus bound by fear or anxiety in his life? No. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. That means as you grow in your relationship with God, all that other stuff, he develops and produces peace in your life. And you listen, some reason people stay bound by these things because they don't believe they'll ever be free of them. The father of lies. The father of lies. You'll never be free of that. This is how you're always going to be. You're never going to have freedom in your life. You're never going to be free of this. You're never going to be free of that. That's a life in the pit of hell. That's nowhere found in the Bible. It's nowhere found in the Bible. I'm going to say it again. It's nowhere found in the Bible that you have to live that way the rest of your life. Jesus came, and the Bible says in Colossians, he defeated the devil and all the demons and actually had a parade, and it was victorious. He defeated the power of evil over your life. Number four is the shield of faith. Now, shields back then were like the size of a door. And what they would do is, as they were advancing, they'd move this door up. And back then, they didn't have guns. They shot arrows, and they would put like a gasoline type of thing on the arrows and catch them on fire and shoot. So these doors, they would be like a leather, and they would put oil on them to make them supple, so that when the fiery arrows hit the door, the shield, they would be extinguished. Do you know how you extinguish the attacks of enemy on your life? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. See, remember, Paul says if you're going to defeat the devil, you got to stand your ground. Remember that? You got to stand firm. He goes, after you've done everything to stand, keep on standing. That's called faith. Faith is when all the devil's attacking you and everything's coming against you, you don't give up, you don't back up, you don't give in. You stand your ground and say, I believe the word of God over my feelings. I believe the word of God over what I'm experiencing, and I'm going to stand in faith. I wrote this. Faith is the firm confidence in the Lord and his word. When temptations burn and when circumstances are adverse, when doubts assail, Phil looks up and says, I believe in God. That when everything, when the devil is throwing everything at you, you just keep looking up and saying, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. I know when I can't make another day, my help comes from the Lord. I know when everything's gone against me, when I've experienced rejection, when I've experienced poverty, any attack of the, my help comes. Where does my help come from? My help comes, Lord, and I want you to know, no matter what you're facing today, where does your help come from? Your help comes from Jesus. You got to keep your faith in him. You never give up on God. I don't care how dark your nights may be. I don't care how much pain you may be experiencing. And I'm not putting that down. But listen, we've got to replace the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word, and we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. God can set you free. God can make you be who he wants you to be. Weapon number five. Isn't this good? Paul's good, isn't he? Helmet of salvation. The assurance of your salvation is a way of defeating the devil. I heard this from a preacher one time. How many believe that salvation means we have eternity? I want you to imagine someone. Let's say someone lived to be 80 years old, and for 80 years, their life was total miserable. And Josh and I and Kathy, we've been parts of the world and seen poverty as unimaginable. When I lived in Cairo and Josh visited our apartment, we had Boabs. It's really not a great English word for a Boab, but they were kind of people that took care of the building. They're very poor. Uneducated, kind of street people, to be honest with you. Our Boaz was just the nicest guy and his wife, but he had two little kids, two little boys that my wife and I got to know. And I would look at those boys sometime out my window. I'd be just grateful to God that I was born to two great parents who went to church. I was born in a nation that was free to tell people about Jesus. I looked at those two boys. To be honest with you, they're never going to have anything in their life. They're going to be a Boaz. They probably would never hear about Jesus Christ in their entire life. They would die and go to hell without ever once entering a church in their life. And I would look at them and think, what kind of life are these two boys going to live? There are these people in this world that live in total misery. But let's say someone lives their whole life that way. There's never a moment of joy. There's never a moment of peace. There's never, and they live 80 years like that and they die. But if they know Jesus, where do they go? Where do they go? Heaven. And heaven's a perfect place. In heaven, they're going to spend 80 years of joy. 80 years. No. How about 1,000? No, not 1,000 years. How about 10? No, not 10,000 years. How about 1,000,000 years? No, not 1,000,000 years. How about hundreds of millions, billions of years? No. That's just the beginning of eternity. Listen, we've got a great deal. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're assured of heaven. And we've got billions upon billions upon billions of years of complete joy. Listen, would you take that deal? Would you take 80 years of misery for a billion of years for peace and joy and happiness? That's our deal. That's what salvation is for you. And that's why you don't give up on God. That's why you don't turn your back on Him. Because you have the assurance of your salvation. You know what another word for salvation is? It's deliverance. You have the assurance, I'll say this again, of your deliverance. That means sin no longer has to keep you bound. Your past has to no longer. Why? Because God, when He saved you, He did what? He delivered you. Number six, I love this one. The Word of God, which the Bible says is what? Sword of the Spirit. It's amazing when you study this, it wasn't a long sword, it was a very short sword, kind of like a dagger. It was really for up-close combat. This is what you use when the devil's coming at you. And he's not coming at you from a distance. He is right on top. You ever had the devil just right on top of you? That's when you use the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. I read something this week. There's a group called the Barna Group. They do researches of churches and stuff like that. Kind of a thing. And also the American Bible Society. And they says, I want you to catch this. It's called the power of four. Say that with me. Power of four. Here's what the research tells us. This is evidence-based truth. When a person interacts with the Bible four or more times in a week, everything in their life is better. Their spiritual life, they feel closer to God, they say. Their mental and emotional health is better. People who interact with God's Word four or more times a week say they have better emotional health and mental health. They will testify that their relational world is healthier. People who interact with God's Word four or more times in a week have better relationships, a better spiritual life, a better mental health, and a better relationship. I can send you the survey. I can send you the results. So if you're facing depression, one of the ways out of it, interact with God's Word four or more times a week. And here's what's amazing about it. If you only do it three times or less, it doesn't make that much difference. The people who were surveyed who only studied the Bible three times or less, They didn't really indicate they felt all that much closer to God. They didn't really indicate that it really impacted their relationships. And they really didn't indicate that it impacted their mental or emotional health. But when they went to the power of what? Four, it was skyrocketed. As a pastor, that's like gold to me. Because I know our God, our job is to make disciples. If I can get you to interact with the Bible four more times a week, you'll become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. You'll begin to look like Him. That's why, as a church, we have given away over 400 one-year Bibles. And you want a one-year Bible, they're free out in the lobby. We give them away free. We have a donor here who's very generous, and he just keeps buying one-year Bibles, and we just keep giving away. My wife and I make a video every single morning from that day's one-year Bible, and it's 1 minute long. I make it so short, you're embarrassed not to watch it. Because you can't tell me you ain't got time to watch that video. It's 60 seconds long, right? Listen to me. If you simply read your Bible 10 minutes, four or more times a day, and watch a one-minute video, I promise you, your life will get better. That's what evidence tells us. Your life will get better. Why? Because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. One of the reasons you can't beat the devil in your life, because you're not putting anything good in. I'm going to say it again. One of the reasons you're a victim of the devil, you're constantly getting defeated in your life because you're not putting in the Word of God into your heart and your spirit and your mind. Listen, when Jesus was tempted the devil, remember this, we said, what did Jesus use to overcome when Satan tempted him? He quoted the Bible. Jesus knew the word, so when Satan attacked him, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he would quote the Bible. You're never going to have victory in your life or defeat the devil unless you're consistently putting God's word in your life. Now, some of you are already behind on your one-year Bible reading, right? I get that. Let me give you some advice. Don't try to catch up. It's just overwhelming. Just start March 1 and start reading it. To read your one-year Bibles, Old Testament, New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb every day, it takes 10 to 15 minutes depending on how fast you read. Now, I have to confess, reading Numbers right now, I read it a little faster than some of the other books. Start doing He, Begat, 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 Begat. I can read Begats really fast. It takes me less time on those days, right? Like, I ain't going to remember those names anyway. 10 to 15 minutes a day. Watch a one-minute video. In your life, listen, I promise you, I'm not making this up. This was research. This was an extensive survey across evangelicals in America. Your life will get better simply by interacting, engaging in Scripture 4 or more times a week. 10 minutes, 40 minutes in a week. That's why we have School of the Bible here. We're going to begin studying the book of Acts. And if you want more information on our School of the Bible, we're starting a class very soon. You can go in the lobby today and look. Why? Because School of the Bible is all about interacting in Scripture on a daily basis, growing in the Word of God. So far we've talked about 6 weapons. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation or deliverance, and God's Word. Look at Ephesians 6:18. It tells us the last weapon. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your what? Prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. This to me, that little phrase, pray for me too. You know how much Paul believed in the power of prayer? He said, pray for me. Josh in the back of the lobby has got prayer cards, a picture of his wife and his kids. I encourage you to take one, put it up on your refrigerator, put it up on your bathroom mirror. Listen, giving is great for Josh. Our church is going to give to him. But if you begin to pray for him and Kimberly, it'll make all the difference in the world. Paul says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan and the good news for the Jews and for the Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now. When Paul wrote this, he's in prison. Isn't it amazing that Paul can be in prison and be in chains and not be a victim? Oh, I want to say that again. Isn't it amazing? The Apostle Paul can be in chains and not be a victim. You know what? He was more free than his guards. His guards had more liberty. They could go home at night. But you know who was the most freest person in that prison? It was Apostle Paul, because he had Jesus Christ. If you want to be free, have Jesus. He goes, I'm in chains now, still preaching the message of God's ambassador. So pray that I'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. And if you don't know how to pray for missionaries, just pray that verse. Because that's like the best verse you can pray for a missionary. Just get Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 and say, God, I pray for Josh, and just start praying that verse over Josh and his family. It's amazing. If you want to live in freedom, you got to start talking to God. You know, we live in a culture that you can get advice from a lot of places. You know that? Everybody's got an opinion nowadays, don't they? About as worth as much as we pay for it sometimes, but everybody's got an opinion, right? You get an opinion on social media. Your friends have got an opinion. World's got an opinion. News people have an opinion. Politicians have an opinion. But you know who you need to talk to about things? You need to talk to God. You need to talk to God. I've given this testimony before, but when I was in Cairo, again, I'm not making light of depression or darkness because I lived under it. I don't remember how long, Kathy will remember, but I went through a period when I was in Cairo that, God, the darkness just overtook me one night. I've told you before, I was laying in my bed. It was dark in our room. A spirit of darkness came over me, and I just went into a funk that I couldn't get out of. I couldn't just make it go away. And it was oppressive and scary. It's an attack of the devil in my life. The devil had a plan for me. He was trying to defeat me. He was trying to destroy me. There were times I thought, I don't know if I can live here anymore. There's times I thought, I don't know if I can keep doing this. The darkness got darker in my life, and I was living over this dark cloud that just hung over me. And there was no quick fix out of it. Again, there's no silver bullet. But thankfully, and I'm not taking any credit, there's two things I kept doing. I kept reading my one-year Bible. I've read the Bible through every year since 1988, and sometimes more than once. And even in the darkest nights, the darkest days, it was my habit to get up in the morning and open my one-year Bible and read God's Word. The second thing I never stopped doing was praying. Now, sometimes I thought my prayers were worthless and useless. Sometimes I thought the heavens were brass over me and my prayers are bouncing the ceiling and coming down. And I'm telling you, the whole spirit of Islam and all that was just oppressing me and coming on me. And I lived, Kathy, I can tell you, I lived in a state of frustration. You ever been that? I was just always frustrated. There was stress on me. Josh is just entering that now in that row. There was stress on me and pressure. I wasn't making everybody happy. And I'm just telling you, it was just all coming down on me. But just by keeping using my weapons, reading God's word, taking my knees to God, I can't tell you the exact moment. There was not an aha moment for me where that darkness just completely lifted off of me and I was free. But over time, God, who had a plan for my life, the Bible says he's got a plan for your life that you will live an abundant life. You know, God wants you to live in abundance. Bible says he came to give you life and life abundantly. Remember that verse? The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. And over a period of time, that darkness was gone. Over a period of time, I began to walk in the freedom. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human. We don't fight the devil with human devices, but they're mighty through God. And if you'll keep using peace and righteousness and faith and prayer and the word of God, God will lead you into victory. God will lead you into the abundant life that he has for you. So the devil has real power. He's not all powerful. Only God is all powerful. But he has power and he has a strategy and he's organized. That's in the Bible. You're in a fight. You realize, I hope the one thing you leave here today is knowing you are in a battle. The devil's coming after you and everything you love. But Jesus came that you may have life and life what? Abundantly or full. Again, Jesus came for you to live in abundance, to live free, to be free of all that. So know you're in a fight and know how you're in a fight. And the thing, listen. Place the lies of the devil with what? The truth of God's word. And he who come to set you free, well, what? You'll be free indeed. You don't have to keep living that way. Paul says, my final word, you're in a fight. So know how to fight. Again, to use the word of God to bring victory in your life. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? Worship team or whoever, would you come forward? Everybody listen to me really close, because there's a battle happening right now. Some of you came today and you know your life is not right with God. Maybe you never accepted Christ as your Savior and you need to ask God to forgive you your sins and become a Christian today. There's some of you, you did that maybe as a kid at VBS or a youth camp, but you know you're not living right today. You know there's sin in your life. You know you're doing things that is displeasing to God. You're missing the mark, which is what the Bible says is sin. There's a battle going on right now for your soul. You know that? There's a devil who doesn't want you to respond to the gospel, wants to continue to steal, kill, and destroy you. There's a God who's here today who wants you to live an abundant life.
If you're here this morning, you say, I've never accepted Christ, or I have, but I have turned away from God, rebelled against God, and you want to get right with Him today, I want to pray with you. Would you raise your hand right now, real high? Raise your hand. Come on. Raise your hand. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I see those hands. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. There's two. Anyone else this morning? Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. And as I pray, ma'am, I sense no one look around. If you raise your hand, very eye closed and head bowed, ma'am, would you look at me? Hey, I'm proud of you. God's got a plan for your life, ma'am. And it's good. It takes a lot of courage to raise your hand. And I want you to know we're going to pray. And if you'll believe what we pray, God's going to change you right now. Set you free. You're His daughter. He loves you. He sent His son to die on the cross just for you. And we're here today. Some amazing things are going to take place in your life. So, Father, I pray for my sister. We admit, Jesus, that we've sinned against you. We've done things we shouldn't have done. We ask for your forgiveness. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on a cross and rose again to set me free. And I ask that you set me free from my sins and everything I've done in my past. And Jesus, I commit my life to you. I'm going to walk for you all my days. I make you the master of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.